For 3 years now, a few hardy souls at Central Wyoming College in Riverton have been making an expedition up to the Dinwiddie Glacier in the Wind River Range to document how climate change is taking its toll on one of the state's largest glaciers. This year, Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards made the trek in with them.
It's a hard 23-mile hike into the Dinwiddie Glacier, and every step is a study in the powerful impact glaciers have had on these mountains in the last 1.5 million years.
This particular valley is actually really cool because you can see essentially vertical cliffs all the way down. There's no question where the glacier went and how it scoured out the sides of the mountain.
That's our guide, University of Wyoming hydrologist Elizabeth Traver. This is her second year partnering with the Interdisciplinary Climate Change Expedition, or ICE. Her job? To teach students how to measure just how much water is melting off the glacier. And it's melting fast. In the last 50 years, about 34% of Dinwiddie Glacier has washed away. Under a hot afternoon sun, all that glacial melt really rages, making creek crossings with heavy packs downright dangerous.
If we want to do this truly safely, one person on this side should take off a pack. So if someone falls in, you have a pack off, you can catch them.
Day 3, we round a corner, and there's Dinwiddie, a glacially slow-moving river of ice.
And if you look at it, you can actually see like a current in it.
It flows off the flank of Wyoming's highest mountain, Gannett Peak. Wyoming has the largest concentration of glaciers in the Rocky Mountains, 38 of them, and 25 are in the Wind Rivers. As it flows down, the glacier heaves up giant boulders as it bulldozed. Tucked among these boulders, we find a makeshift glacier research station, where 13 students and 3 professors are hard at work on several scientific studies to track the glacier's retreat.
Unquestionably, this area is changing, and it's changing with haste.
That's their leader, CWC Environmental Health Instructor Jackie Clancher. Wiry and energetic, she's passionate about this glacier. She gestures wildly up at the splashes of black dirt and rock fallen onto the glacier's fringe.
This long finger is new to us this year. That dirt stream there is new to us, and that is new to us.
She says as the ice melts, debris above falls off, and all that dirt speeds up melting because its dark color attracts heat.
It's on its way to becoming essentially a rock glacier. Any layperson could come up here 3 years in a row and be stunned each year by the dramatic transformation.
But it's not just all that dirt that's heating it up.
All right, Jackie.
Climbing.
One of Clancher's former students, geography major Lane Tommy, takes me down into the glacier's moat. It's sort of like a castle's, but...
basically a glacier that is connected to a rock. And since this rock is so hot, it just melts away, you know, this separate area. And it creates this ditch-like area.
A ditch about 3 stories deep, and right now, we're at the bottom of it. Today, Tommy is ice climbing up the wall of the moat to collect snow samples. He's looking for black carbon, microscopic flecks of exhaust from cars and factories that drift here from around the world. He says on a day like this, when the sun shines on the glacier...
those little black specks heat up and accelerate the melting process of the glacier. And that's why it's really important to figure out, you know, where all this is coming from.
And that's exactly what he's hoping these samples will tell him. After he's done, we slip and slide off the glacier to its toe. Here, melted ice filled with fine ground rock called glacial flour turns the water a milky turquoise. The creek is narrow here, a good spot for hydrology students to get a reading of just how much water is melting off the glacier.
We want to have a benchmark so we can use this and the next years as climate change increases the temperatures and increases the melting of the glaciers.
That's CWC outdoor education sophomore Grace Hartman. She takes notes while another student stands in rubber waders in the middle of the icy creek with a flow meter.
So it's a metal rod and has a sensor on the end where it can measure the velocity of the water.
Hartman says the Dinwiddie Glacier provides a steady, predictable source of water for ranchers in the Wind River Valley below, including the reservation. In a way, it's a frozen reservoir, supplying them with water for crops and livestock year-round. But right now, that frozen reservoir is deflating like a balloon, and the ICE project found a way to track that loss of volume. Using pack horses, they actually hauled a 60-pound piece of equipment called a ground-penetrating radar up here. This GPR can measure the thickness of the ice by locating exactly where the bedrock is underneath. University of North Dakota student Lance D'Angeli is doing his thesis on the glacier.
Now we have length, height, and width, so that way we can get a total volume of the glacier and see how that's really changed.
In Wyoming, people have started to worry that climate will someday deplete the amount of water that goes to irrigators downstream. But ICE project leader Jackie Clancher says it goes way beyond Wyoming. She says, sitting on the Continental Divide, Dinwiddie Glacier is the headwaters of the Missouri River.
This is not Fremont County's water. This is not the Wind River Indian Reservation's water. This is not Wyoming water. This is the nation's water because it flows into the Missouri Water Resource Region.
I think of that as I scoop up a water bottle full of melting glacier and drink deep. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.